I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the second hour, folks. Tonight, we are going to have another phenomenal conversation. I know it's going to be phenomenal because we're going to continue to share with you the information that you should know and that we've been discussing for so long. But I'm going to have this conversation from a woman who has been dealing with issues affecting the Black community for many, many, many years. She's been dealing with these issues on the legal front as she is an attorney. She's been dealing with these issues from a spiritual front as she's a spiritual advisor. She has put some of her lessons and her experiences and her wisdom in book form. So she's an author. And more importantly, she has been dealing with these, looking at history as a historian and as a scholar. So we are just excited to talk about, to talk to her. But before we get to her, we want to talk about the upcoming event that's going to be taking place here in the state of Maryland. We're going to be checking in first with Brother Jaleel Muhammad, who is going to be on the line. Brother Jaleel, how are you, sir? As-salamu alaykum.
I wish I was Brother Jaleel. Walaikum salam, but I'm only Brother Jamil.
Brother Jamil! Brother Jamil, the former Baltimore representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we are so happy to hear from you. How are you, Brother Jamil?
Man, I feel excellent, dear Faraji. I am glad to be on your airwaves once again. Your program, and I'm telling you this for the culture and for the fact, your program is one of the best radio programs anywhere, not only news, not only public information, in public affairs, but also the inspiration to a people to be free. Radio is like a vast desert of poor quality material, music that's not really music, no more news departments, advertisements that sell the worst of life to the people who can least afford to suffer from them. But here on WEAA, your program is like a drop of water on the tongue of a man dying of thirst.
Oh, wow, thank you.
I'm glad to be back on your airwaves right now.
Yes, sir.
To be talking about this great event with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Man, I'm excited, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Brother Jamil, let's talk about this for a very quick moment because there's so many elements of this event that I think is very pertinent to the larger conversations that many Black people in this country are having. The event is about separation through independence. And when we talk about this whole idea of independence, Brother Jamil, from your vantage point, you have been working among Black people for many, many years here in Baltimore and all across this country. But when we talk about independence, and I'm going to talk about the separation piece in a moment, what or how would you define independence today?
Independence is the ability for any nation to retain its sovereignty and its solvency as a citizen of the community of nations on this planet. For a nation to be a nation, yes, there must be a landmass attached to that political entity. But more importantly than even the landmass is a shared common experience, a shared social background, sometimes shared racial or physical characteristics. In other cases, shared economic interests. But when that nation is distinctly allowed to develop, it becomes a part of the vibrancy of the whole human family. Where would the human family be if the community of nations didn't include citizens as diverse as Malaysia on the one hand and Canada on the other? Where would the citizens of the world be if we didn't have a Madagascar and a Norway or an Ecuador and a Cameroon? The nations are free and develop themselves according to the will of the people who are their citizens.
Right.
Black people in America deserve a right to do that. And I submit to you, dear Brother Faraji, that we have a better case for separation and the opportunity to build an independent nation of our own than did the so-called American colonists in 1776. We have a more compelling case, if we were to stand before the bar of justice, to create independence as opposed to slavery, suffering, and death than any nation in the history of the world. And it's time for black people now to think about separation through independence.
So that's where the larger conversation starts with me, Brother Jamil, because and we have had many people talking about there is a need for independence, which I understand and I certainly agree with, but then there's a need for separation. And I'm trying to put it, and I want us to put it where the ghost can get it, as I'm sure you understand that saying. Let's put it where the ghost can get it. It's 2019. And if we're talking about, quote unquote, separation, what does that actually look like, considering the very intricate relationship that black people have with the American system economically, socially, and educationally? So what does separation look like?
It begins, Brother Faraji, with the level of separation that is already demonstrated by other intelligent ethnic enclaves, national groups within this country. For example, when a people begins to, before physically separating, when they begin to separate themselves psychologically, spiritually, economically, when they begin to separate themselves intellectually, academically, financially, when they begin to separate themselves as businessmen and businesswomen, and they begin to move in the direction of acting in their own behalf, the process of separation has begun through the people becoming independent. Do you have an example? Sure we do. Baltimore is a city without as many of the ethnic enclaves that march the other major cities of the East Coast. Well, let's look at New York, for example. When you go downtown in Manhattan, you can go within blocks of each other. You see thriving economic districts called Chinatown, where the businesses are owned by Chinese. The people who work in the business are Chinese. The people who are the clients are Chinese. The real estate is owned by Chinese. And it's Chinatown because they're looking out for their own interests, right? A few blocks away on Mulberry Street in Lower Manhattan is Little Italy. Little Italy, that means the buildings are owned by Italians. That means the restaurants are owned by Italians, the real estate companies, the taxi cab companies. There is a degree of separation from the greater or broader economy, but that degree of separation is not antithetical. It's just intelligent for people to do something for themselves instead of begging others to do for them. I noticed something, Brother Faraj. I was in California a few months ago, and a group of people from throughout the state of California went to the state capitol in Sacramento. And the protest was about jobs and justice.
Right. You know, that's the continuous theme in our struggle.
Continuous theme, jobs
right.
and justice.
Right.
But I noticed something. When you go to the steps of the state capitol there in Sacramento, there were no Chinese people. None. Protesting about jobs and looking for justice and looking for political empowerment because their avenue to fulfillment for their national goals and community aims is that they do something for themselves in the way of independence, and therefore they're connected with other separated realities, and then they're strong. They don't have to. Why don't they have to beg for a job? Because they make a job.
Right.
Why don't they to beg for justice? Because they create the kinds of situations that keep their people out of the system where somebody else has to adjudicate justice. So we're looking now to do the same thing. What does independence look like? It looks like we begin to work together. What does separation look like? We are not in any way stepping back one iota from the call of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we deserve some of these states in America.
Yeah.
That we can call our own.
I want to open up, Brother Jamil, I want to give an opportunity for our listeners to chime in as we have this conversation, because I think there are certainly some layers to this. You're talking about jobs and justice. We're seeing what's happening within our government right now that we can certainly speak to. But I want to open up the phone line, 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888 if you want to join us in this conversation. Let's go to Apache, who's been holding. And Apache, thank you for your great patience. What's your take on this? Walaikum salam.
Welcome to both of you, brother. I can appreciate the ideas. The brother's very well spoken in representing the ideas. But I'm curious, you know, some people would say that, you know, the very ideas that you're saying about separation and everything is demonstrated in places where blacks have governance and majorities, such as Baltimore. You know, that like Baltimore City in itself is an actuality of the separation, you know, that some blacks are calling for. And look at how our, you know, governance is. You know, look how our city mayor office is, you know, the policing department, that this is what it looks like. And it's not to say that I necessarily agree that we would be a complete failure or something like that if we were separated. But how do you reconcile some of the actual demonstrated lack of abilities that, you know, the black community has when given a chance in places like Liberia or Baltimore City or, you know, even in Chicago for that matter?
Thank you for your question, dear brother. Don't hang up, but I wanted to say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, what you're talking about is the accomplishments of decorated, recognized, and honored slaves within the context of somebody else's system of government. You're not looking at independence there. You're looking at black people managing the affairs of wealthy whites. You're looking at Negroes in political position, but the economic power continuing to be wielded by someone outside of that community. Whether you look at it in Liberia, because what they did in Monrovia was set up in 1823 by the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at Baltimore or Chicago or Newark or Detroit, there may be well-intended public servants in these cities who are trying to represent our people's best interests within the context of America. But that's still a position. You may not see us as together with whites, but that's not separation. That's segregation. That's segregation where we are held under the sway of someone else and under their control. Segregation is a condition imposed on an inferior by a superior. Separation is a condition agreed upon by equals at a table of negotiation. We call for separation. It is time now for the children of the slaves to be separated from the children of the slave masters. It is time now for us to go free and independent and do for ourselves and stop begging others to do for us what we have the full capability to do for our own selves. That's the difference.
Brother Apache, thank you so much for checking in, brother.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines as we're talking to Brother Jamil Muhammad, who is talking about separation through independence. This is going to be a topic of discussion. If you're in the DMV, if you're in the D.C. area this weekend, you can come and hear one of the national spokespersons for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Our big brother, Brother Jamil, was a former Baltimore representative for Minister Farrakhan. But Sister Ava Muhammad, who is an attorney, she's an author, she's a scholar, to talk further about this idea of separation through independence. Let's go back to the line and hear what folks got to say. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, thank you so much for checking in. What's your question or your comment?
Hey, my comment, and very respectfully to you and your guest, brother. What's repeat his name?
Jamil.
Brother Jamil. I want to take this back to Roger to the conversation we were having about Mondawmin Mall. The conversation was only about what was there and what other ethnic groups had in their area. No, 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 no. My independence is my independence of thought. I want to see Coppin have the Black Institute of Young Professional AutoCAD Engineers. I want to see a small office space there or office building there with lawyers, Dwight Pettit's office located there. I want to see what I want, and I don't want white folks deciding for me what is in my interest in my community. Because if I don't have a space where I'm passing on knowledge and skills to for the mind, for the young individuals to go out and grab the material with, then I've done nothing. It comes with the independence, comes with not the slave mentality. Oh, the white folks had a mall there before, so it's got to be a mall there, and we're going to do it just like they did. No. No.
Well, that makes sense, Raji,
for hearing me out.
So let me ask you, you'll be with us on Saturday afternoon, is that right?
Oh, this Saturday, you speaking to me or are you talking to Clarence?
I'm talking to Brother Clarence. I'm
okay.
Talking strong like that, brother. We need you. You coming through, right?
It looks like, yeah, he's no longer on the line, Brother Jamil. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that's beautiful what my brother said. Everything starts with the independence of thought. And then we act on that independence to begin to build. You know, we have a great panel of discussion coming down there, Brother Faraji. It's going to be exciting.
Okay.
We are finalizing the panel. It includes the great and legendary journalist and the photojournalist and the White House correspondent and bureau chief for Pacifica Radio, Askia Muhammad of Washington, D.C. He's going to be with us on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Along with him and Dr. Ava is Dr. Sophia Shabazz, the doc from the top of the clock, the physician in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She'll be with us. We just confirmed the participation of our regional minister, Abdul Qadir Muhammad, our brother from Washington also. And we have Dr. Jared Ball. That name will sound familiar to a lot of people.
Yep.
On Hillen Road and Cold Spring Lane. That's the professor from Morgan State University who is also my younger biological brother. A lot of people don't know that, but that's my little brother.
And he'll that's your real little brother.
That's my real little brother.
Right.
You know, like I used to change his diapers and chase him around the backyard with a switch. Yeah. Jared will be there with us. Also, we've just got a confirmation from Minister Carlos Muhammad that we will hear from Brother Ben X. That's right. The internet phenom, Brother Ben X, will be with us all the way from Waxahachie, Texas. And we'll all be gathering there at 6200 Oxon Hill Road in Oxon Hill. That's this coming Saturday. Now, I'm going to give out the number. Everybody get a pencil. I'm going to give out the phone number where you can call and reserve your seating. If you have special seating needs, let us know how many is in your party and you want to show through. Because we want to make sure we send a statement that there are enough of us who have had enough of this. I'm going to say it again. There are enough of us who've had enough of this. And we're ready to take the steps to begin to be free. Look at how Americans look at those who made their way toward freedom on their behalf. Americans, it's been 200 and some odd years, and Americans, 243 years to be exact. And Americans have not forgotten. They haven't forgotten Patrick Henry, give me liberty or death. They haven't forgotten Paul Revere, wanted by land, tutored by sea. They haven't forgotten George Washington, and they haven't forgotten Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Why? Because those were the people who put it in the mind that they could be a free, independent nation.
Hmm.
I want you to join with us on Saturday at 2 o'clock so your great-great-great-great-grandchildren don't forget you. And they say that Papa stood up. Faraji, when you get to be an old man, your great-great-grandchildren going to look up and say, Papa Faraji, and you're going to say, yeah, boy, what do you want?
Right, right.
Thank you. Thank you for standing up that we could be free, proud, and in a nation of our own. That's the power of what we have with us. That's this coming Saturday. You tell me when to give the number, brother.
Hey, you know what? We're going to take a quick pause. I got to take a quick pause, Brother Jamil. But when we come back, Daniel, Gene, Rita, and Dwayne got some questions, got some comments. We're talking about this idea of separation, the case of separation through independence. I'm also going to ask Brother Jamil a look at what this conversation of reparation looks like. Because as much as we're talking about physically separating from the American system, There's also been conversations about reparations. And I'm going to share with you folks what how this potentially could work out based upon what some of our national political leaders are saying and doing. It's going to be very interesting. Stay riding with me. A whole lot coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the final 30, folks, as we have a very, I think, an interesting conversation, a much needed conversation to get us some clarity about the things that we hope for, the things that we've talked about in an attempt to try to bring a new vision into reality. We are talking to Brother Jamil Muhammad, one of the national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but he is also a lecturer, he's a scholar, and he used to be the minister of Mosque Number 6 here in Baltimore, but he has been blessed to grow and continue to do the great work on a national level. But he's talking to us about this idea of separation, as there is an upcoming event this Saturday, and we're going to put out that information to talk about this idea of separation through independence. What does that look like? What does that mean? Brother Jamil, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. We got folks online that want to check in about and share their thoughts and questions as well. So I want to go to Daniel. Brother Daniel, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this idea of separation through independence, Daniel?
Through independence? Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Daniel. Good to hear from you, brother.
No, thank you. I've been to the mosque and heard you speak one time. It was enlightening.
Thank you.
I have an idea, and I always say this every time. If all our so-called religious organizations, all these churches paying tithes and tithes and tithes and tithes, if we all just had one bank, that would be the foundation of independence right there.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Instead of going to Bank of America and all that, if we had one bank or maybe two banks with the same common goal and mission, all brothers wouldn't be going to prison. They'd be having drive training.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be having skills. Only reason I'm not in prison because by the teaching of Moses Elijah Muhammad, to be self-reliant, and I'm a man, be dignified, be a man, that I'm out here today with my own job, my own career, my own business.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I think that.
Man, Brother Daniel, you hitting on something. Brother Faraji, man.
Yes, sir. Sure, absolutely.
You know, Brother Daniel, you're so right. It is the mindset, and that's what Dr. Ava will be discussing on Saturday. this is not going to be a debate between those who want to separate and those who want to stay with the children of our slave masters and catch more hell. No, it won't be that kind of debate. It will be that we may register for a referendum to be taken among black people nationwide who decide who wants to stay and who wants to go. When you look in the Old Testament, Brother Daniel, you see that there were people, even in the time of Moses, according to the prophetic scriptural writing, there were people who would be of a mind that they wanted to stay with Pharaoh. Oh, there's some Nathans, there's some Korahs out there, there's some people who want to stay with Pharaoh. Where's your God now, Moses? Huh? See? Yeah. Those are the people who want to go and stay with this enemy forever. Let them stay. But for those who want to be free, there is a need for us to start thinking along the lines of freedom. And that is the thing that you're talking about. Man, I'm excited to hear your comment. Brother Daniel, if you're on the line, I hope you can join us. We're at 6200 Oxon Hill Road, right there in Prince Saturday. George's County. Right.
Mm-hmm. Saturday right there. At 2 o'clock.
Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Hey, Brother.
Brother Roger.
Yes, sir.
I will be there. I'll be the light-skinned guy.
Brother Daniel, thank you so much for checking out. I appreciate it. Let's go to Rita. Rita, thank you so much for your patience. What's your take on this conversation, Rita? Rita?
Thank you so much for checking out. I appreciate it.
Let me see, make sure. Rita, just turn your radio down for us, please. What's your take?
Well, I'm behind the wheel of my car, and I just, yeah, hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you, Rita.
I'm behind the wheel of my car, and I just heard him mention something about the Chinese, and I want to comment on that. I have a daughter-in-law who works in Howe County as a teacher, and she says all those Koreans do is study, that they excel above everybody, above the whites and the blacks, and they can't touch them. And I think that as a people, we need to put more emphasis on studying and reading and learning how to do mathematics and put away that basketball. You know, you see our kids out there bouncing that basketball forever, even in my family. And they won't pick up a book to read.
Right.
Their mamas won't buy them a book. They're too busy buying hair and getting their nails done. And, you know, we're smart people. We built the pyramids. We need to go back to being more academic-minded and putting emphasis on reading and studying and learning how to do math. That's how you get respect.
Well, and I agree with you, Rita. I appreciate you for checking in. And I think that that's important. I mean, we always have been talking, and Brother Jamil, and we always have been talking to our children and people about the importance of education. But I feel like we're at a... We're at a crossroads at this point where, you know, we can continue to push forward that mantra, but then at the same time, looking at the end result and trying to determine what's the best course of action. And so when it comes to education, and again, I'm going to go back to one of my first questions, Brother Jamil, is that you have this intrinsic tie, right? This historical tie that exists with education. Between black people in this country and the American educational system. What is the set of scissors that it's going to break, that's going to cut the tie, and how do we put that into a different space? Because if there's a talk about going from one place to another, we need to still stay knowledgeable.
There's no doubt. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this. He said, get education as a qualification to build your nation. Education is a qualification to build your nation. The problem with what we have gotten under the name of education is that it never was really education. It was training of Negroes to occupy a place in a society that continued to be dominated by someone else. I'm going to say it again.
Sure.
It was training. Make us a more utilizable Negro, a more employable Negro. So we never thought to build anything of our own as opposed to what our slave masters had.
Right.
We never thought that we could build anything that was the equal of, or dare I say it, superior to what the slave masters had.
So we trained in our schools, in our HBCUs, in our predominantly white institutions. We trained to get a job working for them. What are the scissors that it will take to cut that tie of education and make our leadership and educated ones think in terms of independence?
Mm-hmm.
It is the breaking of the power of the slave master's children, who we thought would rule forever. We believed that they would be in power forever. And we even sang about it in church with our twisted mind, because we thought that God was white, Jesus was white, everybody white. And we would sing, "Rule on, King Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
Keep ruling. Keep running things. Keep handling things. Give yourself to the Jesus figure. We started believing in that. And so as now the rise of independent black thought is taking place, you see it catching. You don't have to be a Muslim to think this way. You don't have to be a Christian to think this way. There are progressives from both sides of the political aisle. When you hear from Dr. Jared Ball, you're going to hear from a brother right there from Morgan State, but he's also a prominent political thinker on the issue of independent black thought. That's what we've got to have. When you hear Asghiya Muhammad, the writer, talk about writing, he talks about writing from the perspective of a free-thinking black man. And those are the kinds of things that Rita was talking about, education as a qualification for a
nation,
not just to get a job.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne, thank you for your patience. What's your take? Dwayne?
Thanks. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you, Dwayne. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, yeah, thanks for letting me ride today, Faraz.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, listen, you know, I am loving everything that I'm hearing, but here's the challenge. Here's the challenge that I have, okay? What is going to be different about what you guys are going to be trying to put out, you know, and who exactly are you going to be putting it out to? Because if you're just going to be putting it out to the people who already know, who already have an interest, then I don't think we're going to make any impact. Just like I say all the time, or from time to time on your show, Faraj, I say, you know, it's great that we're all listening, but the people who need to hear what we're talking about ain't listening. And if we're not going to get a plurality of the people to listen, to get this message and to act on it, and just like, you know, for who's the first guy who commented that he's talked about Baltimore as a black city and we don't see the type of enlightenment and
Apache?
Yeah, just like Apache said, you know, we've got these bastions, you know, of blackness around the country. Why aren't we educating them and taking what they have already gotten a hold of and growing that into something versus trying to start all over and recreate the wheel? Because our Chinese brothers, our Jewish brothers, and our Italian brothers, you know, they paid to play. And that's why they put and kept paying to play, and now they're coasting along. But what we're going to do is reinvent the wheel?
Mm. So what would you suggest, Dwayne?
What I just said, why can't we just co-op Baltimore?
Gotcha.
And turn that into this Wakanda.
Well, you know, here's the by the way, I can't take you right now, bro.
I'm just saying, man.
You know what? Because here's the and I'm glad that you asked it, because I think that's an absolute valid question. I think the problem or the issue that we're going to have to consider is, one, you're talking about the ignorance of the people, and I'm just saying that from all sides, right? Because a lot of times this conversation about anything from, if it's racial, if it deals with the issue of reparations, which is economic and historical, if it's dealing with these things, right, it gets into a space of emotions and it doesn't go beyond that. It gets into a space as to why we doing it, and then it doesn't get beyond that. And that's one of the big things that I want us to kind of key in on, Brother Jamil, because what Dwayne is saying and what I'm hearing other folks are saying, and Dwayne, I appreciate you for checking in, but I wanted to know, how do we get this conversation out from the space that is normally in, which is, it is among black people, it is from a historical context. How do we get into a space where white people are talking about this, where a Native American people are talking about this, where Asian people are talking about these things, and more importantly, we're able to have some real dialogue on these things?
Yes, sir. I'm glad that you asked that question. How do we expand the breadth of the dialogue, and how do we include more people? The very will of God, and this is where I may depart from some of you hipsters who have gotten so intellectually hip and slick and fly that you don't believe in God and prophecy anymore, but I do, and I'm going to say it this way. What Dr. Ava is going to talk about on Saturday at 2 o'clock over at the Oxon Hill Y in Prince George's County, the Oxon Hill Library, she's going to talk about what God's will is. See, God's will had to come into fruition. Most of the people who left Egypt with Moses did not want to go. They did not desire to be free. They did not desire to have the responsibility to build their own nation. What they wanted was to continue being fed and housed and clothed by Pharaoh. All they wanted was for him to be a nicer massa. And that's what Negroes want in America. They don't want to be free for the most part. They want to be better treated slaves. They want to be more comfortable slaves. But the will of God is that they no longer be slaves at all. Mm. And so the breaking of the power of Pharaoh, you look at the confusion that's reigning in the highest levels of government in white America. Look at it now. The Trump administration is as corrupt and confused as anything that has ever happened in any government anywhere on the earth. The level of collusion and corruption that exists in that so-called administration, I tend to call it a regime, is proof of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that Donald Trump would take America to hell on a rocket ship. And right now, his booster has already fallen into the ocean, and he continues hurtling toward outer space at a terrific rate of speed. He's taking America to hell. But black people can get away from that. You don't have to fall with America. America is falling in large part because of her wickedness done to you. You have to believe that you can be free. I agree with my brother 1,000%. Why not take Baltimore? Why not take Oakland? Why not take Compton? Why not take Gary? Why not take Detroit and Newark?
Mm-hmm.
Why not take Philadelphia? Why not take Atlanta? Why not take Birmingham and Jackson and make them into what he calls little Wakandas? But that's not the ultimate aim. The ultimate aim is for us to build a nation of our own. And many blacks do not think they can live without white people. They don't. Some of them don't even want to go to heaven. If it won't be no white folks in heaven, they don't even want to go.
But here's the question, though. What about those white individuals, those white people who say, you know what, I agree?
Yes.
Is there a place for them in this particular part of the struggle?
Yes, sir. And that place, like Malcolm X said, whites can help us, they can't join us. He said that we have to have something that is intrinsically, entirely involved in our blackness and that ebonic connection that allows us to get with each other and feel each other. But whites understand. I have a friend, a white man that I sit with and talk with. And he said to me, you know, you're the most honest black person I know. I said, it's not me, it's Farrakhan who taught me. He said, it's your most, because you say to us, look, we suffer from being with you and you suffer from having us among you. Let us separate. And that's the best way for us to find mutual respect for one another.
All right.
We have to continue to try to live with them. And there are many whites, may not be the majority yet, but there are many whites who love to see us free, because they hate what it takes living with us and the friction between the two races. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, and Minister Ava will bear him witness this Saturday at the Oxon Hill Library in Prince George's County at 2 o'clock. She's going to bear him witness. Minister Farrakhan said that God has ordained separation as the one true solution to the toxic relationship between black and white in America. It is not integration. You think you're going to get well getting closer to white folks, but we didn't get sick until they came around us in the first place.
Gotcha.
We have to understand that it's time to separate.
Let's go back to the line, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Gene. Gene, thank you for your patience. Then we'll head to Brian. But Gene, what's your take on it, sir? Gene? All right. Oh, let me do my thing here. I'm sorry, Gene.
Yeah, hello?
Yep, I got you, Gene. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to speak on the prophecy.
Yep.
If we look around, the word is resegregation.
Okay.
Dr. Richardson used this, and I take credit for using it originally, but we are resegregated. And so the prophecy is fulfilled. So when you look around and you see nothing but black people, isn't that the prophecy fulfilled? Isn't that separation? So, you know, that's one of my takes on this. The other thing, too, is in 1962 or 1963, the Honorable Malcolm X spoke about this. He said that we were boys in the white man's house. Remember that, brother?
Brother Jamil?
Brother Jamil, do you remember that one?
Said something. Yes, I remember that Malcolm said something.
Okay. Yeah, he said we were boys in a white man's house when he spoke on separation. You could go to my website, right. And I did a blog, but I also have the audio. See, when you go on YouTube, there's many obscure audios that are posted and then taken down. And so I have the interview where Brother Malcolm talked about, talked about separation and how every group of people separates from us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's separating from us. We are the only ones who want to integrate with them. That's Malcolm X. And so that's basically what I'm hearing from the brother here is it's like I'm a student of Elijah Muhammad, and my success is based on my tutelage that I received from him. And so just like similar to what the other brother said, and then Dr. K explained that Lincoln University was created by Abraham Lincoln to separate black people and send them back to Africa. So the Back to Africa movement was sort of originated by Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Ask Dr. Case, he'll tell you why Lincoln University was created.
Okay.
This is knowledge that we have. Again, AfricanaMagazine.com, and you can read the blog on what Malcolm said, and you can AfricanaMagazine. My podcast, and that's my email address at gmail.com.
Gotcha.
I'll send you the audio.
Please do, okay. Gene, and I appreciate you for checking in, Brother Jamil.
Quickly, Gene, thank you for recognizing that Malcolm was speaking in 1962 and 1963, but let us not forget, Malcolm served as a representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as you said. It is Mr. Muhammad who taught Malcolm. It is Mr. Muhammad who taught Imam Wahdi Muhammad. It's Mr. Muhammad who taught Minister Farrakhan. It's Mr. Muhammad who taught Muhammad Ali and Sister Captain Portia Pacha and Minister Isaiah Kareem and Minister Louis Omar. And it is Elijah Muhammad's teaching that will inform the discussion on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Now, this does not mean that you have to be an adherent to that teaching to separate. There's a place in the black nation for every one of us. Regardless of whether you call yourself a Muslim or a Christian, a nationalist or a Pan-Africanist, whether you call yourself an agnostic or an atheist, whether you call yourself a GD or a Vice Lord or a Crip or a Blood or whatever you used to be, if you want to unite, then this is the time for you to join on to your own. Dr. Ava Muhammad, Ben X, Askia Muhammad, Dr. Jared Ball, Dr. Sophia Shabazz, Minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad, all of these coming together, young and old, male and female, dedicated to the proposition that we would stand up and do something for ourselves to be free as a nation.
Yes,
that's the call that we're making tonight. Man, thank you, Brother Faraji.
Hey, you're welcome. I got a couple more calls with Brother Jamil. Let's go to Brian, who's been waiting patiently. Then we wrap it up with Ali. Brother Brian, talk to me. What's your take? Brian, let's see what you... Okay. Yep, Brian, we got you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you so much for your patience, Brian. What's your take on this as we talk about this idea?
Yeah, so my comment is just basically based on, and someone kind of spoke about it, like, you know, what we're going through here in Baltimore and who the message has to kind of reach. And so my thing is, like, us, you know, who do want to go forward with this and separate, how do we address some of the issues in our community? One, Baltimore, you know, being, you know, a city with 300-something murders, the drug issues and things like that, to get people away from that mindset, because obviously we don't want to bring that mentality with us, and we're trying to find a way to attack what is, you know, still holding us to that standard, you know, just guys who don't get it or whatever the case is, you know.
Right, right, right. And you know what? The standard really starts with, and I'm a big advocate of this, Brian, that when we talk about stopping the murder rate in this city, it's not necessarily about jobs, or it's not because of, you know, just abandoned homes and things. It has to be inherently because of a lack of self-love. And if we don't have the love for each other, right, then it doesn't matter whatever things that we may have. We still are going to be destructive to one another. You could be destructive to one another on a job. You know, you can hate yourself. You can hate your brother, your sister, beyond, you know, anywhere, because if your mind is not in that right space to understand that, that's the big thing. And so when we have these conversations, my hope is that we can really have these conversations considering the world that we're living in. We're living in a very evolving and changing world, changing value system, changing belief systems. Of course, we could talk about the racial and ethnic diversity of things, of the people, and of course, the city. So we got to look at having these conversations. And we can't do it tonight. And Brian, I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much, brother. We can't do it tonight, Brother Jamil. But we got to talk about, at least on the other side of this, the economics of it. Because if we're talking about separation, there's an economic factor that's attached to that. If they're talking about reparations, there's certainly an economic factor into that. And the economics of black people in this country, whether you're talking about the consuming power, quote unquote, of over $1 trillion, how that can be divested, invested into other channels and in other ways, we have to get into that part of the conversation to really bring this idea into full spectrum and clarity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's no doubt about it. The economics of it has to take place. We have to have a broad-based, comprehensive approach. We need a program, not just an idea. We need a proven course and a track record of accomplishment on a small scale.
Sure.
So we can prove the scripture true that he who is faithful over little will be made master over much. The idea that my brother talked about and being in Baltimore, with we can't bring the problems, the murder, the drugs, the crime, but there's already life in Baltimore. If you remember during the uprising that occurred in the aftermath of Freddie Gray's murder, then you look at the people who were examining what was going on. I can't help but refer Brother Faraji to you. And when the CNN cameras came and you spoke to them with clarity and intelligence in the context of what was taking place in the city sociologically, historically, and with regard to the removal of self-love and its replacement with self-hatred among our people, they were shocked. And I'm still receiving compliments to you from people around the country who saw that almost 4 years ago.
Wow.
And who said, you know what? This is a man who's been trained by somebody different. Who's the idea maker? It is the idea of God that is taking shape amongst us, and is taking shape regardless of our religion, our political association.
Yes, sir.
Whether we're Omegas or Kappas or Deltas or AKAs, it don't matter. It's coming together now, and this is the time. That's what Dr. Abel will be talking about on Saturday. I think you have one more call, Brother.
Hey, we don't, because the time is on us, but Brother Jamil, okay. I want you to give out another final announcement with the number for folks to contact to get more information, to get tickets, to get all registered and set for this event.
Yes, sir. Everybody get your pencils ready. The number is area code 301-760-8153. That number again, 301-760-8153. What you're going to need to know is the size of your party, how many tickets you need, and whether you have any special seating requests or requirements, if you have elderly, handicapped, or children. We need to know so we can accommodate you in the most comfortable way possible. That number again, 301-760-8153. The event that we're talking about is Saturday at 2 o'clock sharp at the
Oxon Hill Library in Prince George's County. It's at 6200 Oxon Hill Road down in PG County. Come on through. We'll be joined by Askia Muhammad, Dr. Jared Ball from Morgan State. With our own sister Rona Muhammad will be there, Dr. Ava Muhammad, Dr. Sophia Shabazz from Philadelphia, Minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad from Washington, and all the way from Waxahachie, Texas, Brother Ben X will be there. I mean, we're going to have us a time in the spirit, and we need you to be there, and you need to be there. So come on, everybody. It's a function of the junction. Be there or be square.
Brother Jamil Muhammad, one of the national spokespersons for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and also the former Baltimore representative here in for MAS number 6. We thank you so much for being a part of this conversation and at least getting us to dig a little deeper as we have this conversation. Thank you so much, Brother Jamil, for being on For the Culture here on WEAA.
Love you, man.
Love you, too. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I want to thank my fantastic production team. It's Mallory Pinkett-Pierre, Alex Blanc. I want to thank Dre Day for making me sound so good. Make sure that you continue the conversation on all of our social media platforms. Make sure you check out WEAA.org to download all of the latest podcasts and episodes that you may have missed. And I'm telling you, folks, you do not want to miss one day, one conversation on For the Culture, because you never know who you might hear. Never know. Tomorrow, we're going to have former NBA player Ethan Thomas going to be checking in tomorrow. Friday, we're going to have that. And so, you don't want to miss out on these conversations. It's got so many things going to be happening. Of course, we'll keep you up to date on all that's happening around our city and our state. And I certainly want to thank Senator Mary Washington for taking time out of her schedule to be with us today. That's going to do it for me. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I'm Faraji Muhammad. I look forward to having another great conversation with you right here on For the Culture, here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And as always, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Stay tuned. Up next is In the Groove with LaDon Black. Peace.